Well, welcome to, of course, Monday night, and it's time for the D&K Repos Non-League show. And, of course, joining me as normal on a Monday night in a different position on my screen. So he's down below me tonight. So it's of course, his keeper. But how are you, mate?
I'm not bad, Dave. I'm always below you. You should know that in the pecking order.
If only, eh? If only. And then, of course, joining us as well. Of course, top left, the man that he's... has got his club absolutely flying. And, of course, at the top is Chris Taylor, of course, the manager of Witham Town. So welcome, Chris.
Thank you.
And, of course, at the bottom, an old friend of the show. He's the chairman at Chesham United in Pete Brown. And how are we, Peter?
We're very well, thank you. Very well.
I mean, this week, I mean, before we start going into the different clubs, Keeper, any sort of scores this week that... highlighted other than the one that we called last week between 7 and half City?
That's easy, Dave. We should have put a bet on that, shouldn't we?
Should have done, yeah.
No, that one stood out massively for me, obviously, because the league form hasn't been brilliant for Sevenoaks, but, you know, I watched them the other week and they were a decent side, and I just thought that their pace and the way they play football could upset Bath, and it did. I think that was the main one for me.
They've got Ebbsfleet, if I'm right. Is that right, Ebbsfleet?
They have, yeah, that, which is obviously top of the table. And Beckenham beating, Binfield as well. They've got a draw at home to Dagenham and Redbridge. So there's a couple of cracking games there.
And that's what Merthyr got?
Merthyr got, and I did look, they got Boats and a Victor.
At home?
Yes.
Oh, good luck.
That was a good result for them, Dave, beating Dulwich Hamlet.
Yeah, I think the boss was very happy when I could have heard him shouting on Saturday night from here, all the way from Wales. So I think he was more than happy with that one. I tried to speak to him this afternoon, but he was busy this afternoon. I'm going to speak to him tomorrow. But yeah, I think he's overjoyed at that one. And I think he'll be looking forward to the game against them, so against Folkestone, and a winnable game again for them, and possibly even Hugs will be looking at that and thinking, well, that's a winnable game for us.
Yeah, no, I think Hugs will. I don't think they'll be worried about that one. Nice trip for both the clubs as well. So yeah, no, it's a lot of money for that one as well. I think if you lose, you get $3,000. So yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, it's about 9,000 to. To get through there, and so some great ties, and you know, Romford, of course, that we follow as well, kept out Chelmsford to almost half time, or just after half time, and ended up then losing by 5. But I mean, great run for them, and Steve and everybody down at the club at Romford.
Yeah,
you know, I think I
could have heard. Yeah, brilliant, though. You know, I was watching that. Well, I went and watched another game at the weekend, and I was watching that on football web pages and thinking, oh, can they hang in? Can they hang in? But they've had a great run, haven't they? So well done for them.
I mean, Chris and Pete, I mean, where did your FA Cup dreams disappear this year?
That was 6 minutes of extra time and they scored in the 98th minute. Yeah, quite.
Yeah, I won't
say any more on that. It equalised and we went to their place 1-0 down, went for it. Well, it's no point going for a draw in the FA Cup. Went for it and lost 3-0. So, yeah, better team went on the night. The Bracknell Town, so.
We had, it was a bit of a roller coaster last 10 minutes for us, really. We was in, I'd say, in quite good control. Gave away a sloppy penalty. Keeper saved the penalty. They scored from the rebound and then they scored in the 96th minute. Literally, yeah, last minute of the game. We then had a chance in the 97th minute and ended up losing sort of 2-1. But yeah, emotions of the last 10 minutes was, yeah, all over the place, really.
Who was that against, Chris?
That was against Burke Hampstead. Ah. But not Concord that round after us. Yeah, but then lost Saturday.
Very good side, Burke Hampstead, in all fairness. Mm. So, to do well against them. I mean, in the FA Cup and some of these other, you know, the trophy as well. And, you know, it's a big game for Pete's side and my side at the weekend, but which will be really interesting. But what baffles me when you see these games and you see a really tight sort of first game and it'll be a 0-0 or a 1-1. And then you go to the second game in the replay. And then I think there was one this week either in the trophy or in the FA Cup, and it ends up 9-0. Mm. You know, you think, you know, it's incredible that you can do it. You can keep it that sort of tight and then go to that. Is that anything like that ever happened to anybody?
No, okay. Not my records of it, no.
Yeah, I don't think I've had an experience of that either.
Keith?
No, I don't normally get to a replay, Dave. I spoke last week about it, didn't I? And I said that we mentioned Three Bridges beating Lewis. And normally when you're the underdog and you get a draw, you think, oh, is that your time, you know, over, because you don't normally get a second crack at it. And when they absolutely stuffed Lewis, didn't they, which was a huge surprise. So you don't normally see it, but like I say, I'll see the result in the week with that as well. And I think I'll see a massive, wouldn't there a big result in the FA Cup as well, was 7-something, yeah, in the first one on Saturday, if I remember. It's all good for them, for the teams that are in it now. I think there's three or four sides, aren't they, left that sort of step sort of four level, so it's great for them. Hopefully, you never know, they might get a TV one.
Mm-hmm. Where are you living hope for them? Yeah, because it's vital. Yeah. That, the football we get into non-league football, it's so important from these competitions.
The two sides that are through, Sevenoaks and Beckenham, both play very good football, so that they could still upset both the teams in there, and I think that could be a good FA Cup tie as well.
I'm just looking at some of the games for the weekend, in the trophy. There's some real sort of, what's the new word? They're all using our bangers, is it? But the weekend, Bognor Regis and Bowers, we've got Billingham, Bargate, Canby Island, Bracknell Town is another one that looks there. And of course, the big one that always stands out for me every time I keep flicking through it is Enfield Town versus Chesham, which should be...
Is that your team now? Is that what you just said? Your team?
That's his team now.
I did say
that's that. Your team.
I did say that. And when I spoke to Andy said that basically it's going to, that people keep calling it the Andy Lees Derby. So it's what he keeps getting told.
I tell you what could be a good one, Dave, looking at it, you're just going to come to it, and we've just mentioned them, but, you know, Whitehawk have got a good chance down at Folkestone because they're playing well at the moment. That could be a bit of an upset for them.
Yeah, I mean, the other one as well, tough ties. I mean, you know, Tough Tie's got to be the one that I looked at when it first came out. Harlow against Hornchurch, that's going to be...
Hornchurch are flying. If Harlow can get something there, well, fair play, but that's going to be a tough one, that, and really is. I think it'll be another cracker. Horsham Averley.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Seven Oaks take their eyes off the game, because I mean they've got another chance of a little upset there against Lewis at the weekend.
No, they won't. They won't. But they both know each other, Tony and Harry there as well, the two managers, and obviously Freddie Parker, who's at Seven Oaks now, was at Lewis. That'd be a good game. That two teams that play football. I think there'd be a large crowd. That could be a lot of goals. No, my luck, it'd be 0-0. But that could be a really, really good game. That.
Have you just let us into where you're going at the weekend?
No. No, I'm not going to Lewis.
But, I mean, the other one as well, of course, as well, is Whittam and Dunstable. I mean, that's going to be a cracking game. Dunstable, is a good form. Mm. If I'm right in saying, I think they beat Walthamstow 3-0 at the weekend as well. So they're in a good run. I mean, good news for you is I think their star man, he's out injured. So whether he's back or not for the weekend, I'm not sure. But he has been out... for a period of time, so that's going to be an interesting game.
Yeah, and it's the third team we've faced from that league in cup competitions, having Birkenhead, Hampstead and Ware and them in the next round. So, yeah, I think that's at some stage we've faced them all in the top five. So, yeah, it's an exciting time for us. We've just raised to the challenge. We're at home as well. Another cup to our, like I said, to the boys. It's great. Great exposure for non-league, and it's great exposure for players as well at a certain age to maybe put themselves in a shop window that ain't really there from the league games for some of them.
And of course, the other one down there as well, I mean, that, if I'm right in saying, it's a bit of a journey. Truro City versus Salisbury.
Oh, that'd be a cracker, wouldn't it? Yeah, fun games down there, it'll be.
It certainly will.
That'll be a travelling. I think I might have to set out tomorrow, but it's gonna be a travel. But let's start off with you. Start with you, Chris. We'll start with Witham. Chesham, because of course, Pete, you've had sort of like a bit of a, like you've broken a mirror in the last few weeks, haven't you? With really unfortunate sort of really really bad injuries to a couple of your players as well over the last few weeks as well.
It's been quite horrendous. The first one was completely noxious, ground a bit hard, went up for a header, came down, landed on his leg awkwardly, cruciate ligament gone. On the operating table 1st of November, out for the season, obviously. Star midfield player and captain, absolutely devastating blow. And then young Jake, who's been playing really well for us in midfield, because the other midfield players have been injured, but they're coming back now and are back. Goes in for a 50-50 ball, wins the ball. The bloke completes the shot by kicking his shin. Complete flute accident, double fracture. Now been, and when you look at the fracture, it was horrendous on the X-ray. And you saw the plate that was in there from a previous incident in 2019 when his leg was plated. And it was a break above the plate, directly where the plate was finished.
Oh.
And you go, oh, bugger. So now it's been rodded. I just spoke to him today, actually. He's now on the odd paracetamol now and beginning to put some weight on the leg with crutches. And he's determined to get back on the football pitch. But again, it's 12 months. You know, it's next season. We'll see him pre-season.
Yeah.
You know, two real big body blows and with other injuries and everything and players leaving and going to other clubs. It left us short. But then on Saturday, the injured players came back. And a convincing performance on Saturday, convincing against Everton. It was, 3-0. Didn't flatter us in any way, mean or form, but the injuries were horrendous. And to see my player laying on the pitch for 3.5 hours because the ambulance didn't class it as a priority, you know, getting the pagoda onto the pitch and because it was peeing with rain was awful. But eventually the first responder came after a phone call at 6 o'clock and they prioritised him. The first responder came, gave him some medicine. We got him into changing rooms and then that and the injection into the arm and all the morphine, we got him in, wheelchaired him into the front seat of the first responder's car to take him to hospital. Never saw an ambulance then. So, you know, it was the most horrendous experience and something I feel like approaching the league and saying, look, if we all put £100 a year in each club in our league, then let's be able to get a private ambulance. Because to leave a player on the pitch for 3.5 hours, and Merthyr, what a journey they had to get there, and they're coming up on a Tuesday, which is awful for them. But our players were shocked, and we played on the Tuesday night, and a lot of players didn't perform on the Tuesday night, and I'm sure the psychological thing was in there. When you see it, when you hear the injury to start with, and then see the angle of the leg, it was. The worst day I've had at Chesham United in the 8 years I've been there, without a doubt.
I saw you. I did see. I think you put a tweet out or a Facebook message out, and I did read what you was putting on there. And you know, you mentioned on there, and you sounded really crestfallen. Then what was going on? Yeah,
it was full of anger, frustration, helplessness. Couldn't do anything for the guy. Couldn't move him. Couldn't do anything for him. You know, a double fracture. You don't move that around too easily. It was awful. But it was quite funny when he got the two doses of morphine into him and he had the Entonox. I said to him, how many fairies can you see? And he said, bloody millions of them. Millions are flying. We then could manage to move him in great pain still into the car to get him into hospital for the operation the next evening and home on the Monday night and onto his crutches now, put a little bit of weight on. So, stepping forward, but the other one's 1st of November, he's on the slab to be operated on. So, it's been tough and the managers are looking out there at players that may be available.
Yeah.
Which is managers, you know, as yourself, Chris, you're doing it all the time, looking at players. If there's someone comes along that's better than what you got, you go in for them and see what 100%. You can do. Unfortunately, we were down to the bare bones at the weekend, but we've got players back from injury and we've got two more coming back for next weekend, so the squad will be strong for next weekend and looking forward to the game.
Mm. And of course, you look at that as well. You know, you say you've had, you know, a bit of a nightmare injuries wise, the rest of it, but sitting nicely, you know, just tucked in there in sort of third place and four behind Truro and, you know, with a game in hand.
Yeah.
And Western Supermed just above you as well. So, you know, results wise, it's going quite well.
All right, it's going brilliantly when you consider what our budget is to what the big boys are playing out. It's we're very pleased with what's there. And they've got a great team spirit there. All the players are all in it together. And we're raising money now, funds for, you know, for the players that are injured to help them, because we all know what the insurance is. It's pretty basic what we can get for them. But at least we've got it. We've got the basics for them. But anything above and beyond, you know, we've got to help them what we can. So we've started a GoFundMe page up, close to $3,000 in 5 days. So an event's planned, golf days, race nights, quiz nights. You know, everything's going on to make it, to make those lads a little bit happier, because they're both self-employed.
Oh, dear.
And there's the bugger.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what the government will give you.
But I mean, in the league itself, though, I mean, are you surprised at maybe some of the names that are up the top, and surprised at some of the teams that were at the top last year that are, you know, sort of mid-table and below?
I'm not surprised that those that were at the top last year are now down, because everyone got such substantial money from the government grant systems last year, and they all spent the money. We didn't spend all the money. We kept some for this year as well. And of course, the crowds went up because the team was doing so well. From an appalling start to where we finished up was a tribute to the players and the management. And, you know, it's gone on into this season now. The same players, we've signed 5 players, we've lost... We've lost 2 with serious injuries, and we've had some other long-term injuries which are only just coming back now. But we'll get there. We'll get there. And there's a great team spirit within them all. You go into changing rooms, most games, apart from last Saturday, everyone's in there, there's laughing, there's joking, you know, win, lose or draw, they're in it together. And yeah, it's been built over a period of time. And yeah, good fun. It's good fun. It's nice to be near the top at this time of the year than near the bottom as we were this time last year.
Well, I mean, Cooper, are you surprised? Well, not necessarily surprised, but you know, pleased to say that, you know, that Hanwell Town, the team that's come out of the Eastman League, has gone into that league and doing really well up there, aren't they? Sitting in there in fourth.
Yeah, they are, mate. But if you look at the sides that have come out this year, though, when Met Police and Hendon and so on have done it, they have competed quite well there. But yeah, it is obviously like the Harrow Boroughs and whatever. It's a lot of travelling for a lot of them, and I know Chesham are the same as well. But they've adapted well, and they've got some good players. But I'm more surprised this year because they have lost a couple. I think their main centre forward went in the summer as well. So, you know, they've recruited well. I haven't been there for a few years, but the last time I went there, their pitch was fantastic. It's one of the best pitches that I think I see. And obviously they were doing a lot to the ground. So yeah, no, it's good for them, and you know, long may it continue. You do want to see the clubs that you know quite well and people you've met do exceptionally well. And like I said, they've had a good start, and hopefully they'll carry it on. But as Peter just said, it's difficult for them, because even though you mentioned it, there are still some big clubs there that you know, you think that will come good. You know, we mentioned Bracknell. I know they knocked you out the FA Cup, but they didn't have a great result. I think they're winning, but I do expect them to do that. I know a couple of their players as well, so I think that they might pick up a little bit more.
They lost their central midfield player
for
a few fixtures, and they don't perform. He is an absolute gem of a player. He's too good for this level by a long way. He's close. Well, he's definitely National League stuff, and maybe National League, you know, National League South or North, but he's definitely that. Good possibility he could make the way in the National League itself. He's that good a player, and he makes them tick. And with him out for a couple of games, their results have suffered for it. So
it'd be interesting, Dave, looking at the league, and again, but I know you mentioned Damani, but you know, Plymouth, where they are at the moment, was a bit of a surprise. With Hayes and Yedin as well.
Yes, yeah.
I know Steve Whitney said to me, you know, when we started doing the review show, he said to me he expected Plymouth Pathway to, you know, to sort of go right through and, you know, sort of win this, well, not actually win this league, but get promoted and move into the, you know, into the sort of national leagues as well. He said they were, you know, his feeling was that they were going to do really, really well and move up. But as I say, they're struggling a little bit this year so far.
Yeah, it's still early days, Dave. You only need to put a run. You know, we said the same. When you look at a Prem division, if it's the Eastern and Prem or the Southern, both the Prems in the Southern and Northern, you put four or five wins together, you catapult yourself right up the league. It's so tight, you know, everyone beats everyone, as Peter tell you, and you know, it's you know, like I said, all they need to do is have a few. But look, you know, 10 games in, or 9 games, or 8 games for some of them, isn't a huge amount. Now the FA Cup and a lot of teams are in the trophy. That you know, if they get a good run, that'll set them back. Yep. So long way to go.
And I say, you know, next games, the fixture's not sort of been sort of very nice to you in the next few days or so, the next 10 days or so. But you've got 4 away games on the bounce. Enfield Town, of course, Saturday in the trophy, then Harrow Borough, then Winchester City, and then Western Supermare.
Yep. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the Western Supermare was called off because of the Queen, and they insisted on a 6-week date that we travel down there on a Tuesday night, when a lot of the other clubs in the league have agreed to use the free date in March for the date, but they wanted us to travel. They insisted we travel down on a Tuesday night, so we will go down there on a Tuesday night and we will give a good account of ourselves. But yeah, 4 games on the way. We've had quite a few home games, so it swings and roundabouts. And when you consider Harrow is not far from home, Hendon's not far from home, you don't mind those fixtures. And it's good that they're midweek fixtures, because you don't want distance travelling. I mean, it's 500 miles round trip to Plymouth, which is crazy.
How would you fancy that, Chris, if it was Whittam and you had to 500 mile round trip?
You know, I've got quite a funny story. When I was at Forok with Fakan Ramis, our first game was Western Supermare, first game of the season. We ended up getting caught in traffic and the kickoff was at R4.
Yeah.
Because of an accident. I remember it's the only game, I think, in my footballing career that we got changed on the coach and people was getting strapped up and stretched on the coach. Ready for the game.
Yeah.
So, not the greatest.
It's the infamous M5 motorway, isn't it?
And of course, the worst thing about it is, I suppose, for Pete as well, is he's not only has he got to go to, to Plymouth Pathways ground once, he's actually got to go there twice.
Yeah.
he's done it once already, and he's got to go back that way as well. If I'm right in saying, back in, where did I see it? I did see it on here somewhere just a minute ago. 14th of January, so he's got to go back down there to play Truro, share the ground with Plymouth there. And just before that, you've got to go away to Merthyr as well. So it's Merthyr.
Merthyr's a great trip. It's a great trip. It's only 3 hours to Merthyr, 3.25 hours, straight through M4, A470, straight off the end. 5 minutes later, you're in the ground. Brilliant. Brilliant. They're great people, Merthyr, and it's the fixture we most enjoy at our ground because of their supporters are brilliant. And when we go there, their supporters are brilliant to us as well. It's just a real good friendly atmosphere on both aspects. But yeah, I love going to Merthyr. Go back home to my home in the valleys and then just drive up there in the morning, and it's brilliant. Love it.
So I mean, what was the actual beginning of the season, Pete? I mean, what was the actual sort of targets for Chesham? You know, was it a good run in one of the cups? Was it, you know, like getting into that playoffs again and getting into promoted to the National League? I mean, the
priority has always been into the playoffs, and if and when we get anything from the cups was great, but we budgeted nothing on the cups whatsoever, and we won one round, we lost the next one, so we got some money in for that. And the same with this game coming up on Saturday. If we win, great. If we lose, well, okay, the priority is the league. Because we do know that if we win on Saturday, it means the Saturday games we have are away games, which will then be away midweek games. And that becomes a complete ball ache, as I would say, for another word. Because, you know, you could be drawn go a long way away. You could end up at Plymouth, say, you know, if you get far enough, you could end up in the West Country or something like that. And you think, God, here we go on a midweek game, you know, going to even Poole is not an easy journey because that awful piece of road between Bournemouth and Poole. Yeah, so, you know, you look at it both ways, but it's a game of football, and like all things, you want to win it. It's great to win. And if there's good reasons not to win, look at the positives you take from a defeat, and that's the way we've looked at it all season. You've got to be positive, whichever the result or whatever's happened, and say, okay. As one of our late supporters who died last year used to say to us at the end of the game, oh, well, where are we next week? We'll get 3 points there instead then. And that's the way you've got to look at it. You've got to be positive. You know, it's what I call me Fredism, one of our great supporters. And he was always positive at the end of the day, gloomy, but then he said, well, where are we next week? Oh, that's how I get 3 points there. We'll be all right again, won't we? And that's just wonderful. And you think, you've got to be positive.
So have you ever been, you know, have you played Enfield Town before?
Yeah, we played them in the Cup a few years ago when Andy was our manager. That was the year, I believe it was the year that we did really well in the Cup. We went to their place, I think we won 2-0 or 2-1 or something like that. It was a long time ago. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, we said hello to Andy on Saturday when he walked through, gave him free admission to come in the ground to have a look at us, to see what he was doing. We went to there on Friday night and had a look at them. And yeah, looking forward to seeing Andy and his team. Great manager, without a doubt. Yeah. Done really well. Wherever he goes, he will be a good manager for them, without a shadow of a doubt.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I wouldn't disagree with you at all there. But I mean, the actual trophy, though, I mean, what's the furthest that Chesham have ever got in the trophy?
Oh, we haven't got very far. The best game we had was against Torquay when they were flying in the conference. And the government called the Saturday games off on the Thursday. And if they did it on the Wednesday, we could have got Torquay up on the Friday night and had a huge crowd. And it was, there were people watching on video links and everything like that. We only lost 1-0 to them and could have easily won the game. But that's the way it goes in football, isn't it? Never gone very far in the trophy. Never gone far. Not until you go back to 93 when they did the team we had in 92, 93, that team went a long way and did a lot of very, very good things. Best team the club ever had. Yeah. You know, when it won the Isthmian League and was denied going into the conference because of ground facilities and everything. But yeah, we haven't gone very far in this competition very often at all. Our managers have done 150 games now, and I gave them a presentation on Saturday and said, your win-to-win ratio is 53%. But if you exclude cup games, it's 60%.
did that give you, you know, and we've asked other people this question before, did the Hornchurch winning it a couple of years ago sort of give you a little bit more, encouragement that your side could actually get there and do the same?
I think, yeah, it's there for always. It's a great game to be involved in. We always play better against the better footballing sides. We're looking forward to it. I mean, it's going to be great. And if we proceed through, it means then you get extra money, which you can then say to the managers, well, that extra money you've earned us will pay for one or two more players so that you can start relaxed, resting, because it'll be Saturday, Tuesday forever. And you can't get players to keep playing that amount of games constantly and being on the top of their form. So it gives you the option to get a couple more players in, which will then relieve the pressure on the managers and on the other players as well. So, yeah, it'd be great to win. I'm looking forward to it. I'm sorry I'm not going to be there. First game I've missed in donkey's years, I think. But this jolly boy's Beano came up with the company, and I thought, yeah, why shouldn't I go? So I am.
Keith, what's the first you've ever got in a trophy?
Ask Chris. I'm off days. I think mostly was maybe with 10 for me town day when we got into the Prem. I think it was around the third or first round proper, I think. And we were really punching them, but we had obviously a decent side. Last year, well, I was undefeated at Whitstable because I joined after they got knocked out in the round because I went and watched them get knocked out, so that didn't count. So that pleased them. VCD, I think we for some reason, and it's still this year, that club just can't win any cup games no matter who's managing, because I think even when Tony Russell was there, they got knocked out early, and I think Grant did, and then I did. Well, I think you win one or two games and you come up against it. But the trophy's always difficult when, and Chris will tell you, you know, a step four side, you're the lowest teams in that division, in that competition. So if you get a tough tie, it's hard. And obviously, like you said, the only reason in recent years, some sides from step four have done really well. Obviously, Averley before they got promoted, etc. And the Hornchurch thing was massive for most clubs. I think that's, you know, gave a lot of teams a lot of hope. But I think now the national teams, because their promotion is more, I think you see that they sort of don't take it less serious, but they do in one way, because what's in store for them and the price for them is bigger, especially when the playoff situation changed, where, you know, more teams get in the playoffs now, even in the North South, as well as the actual sort of, you know, the National League itself. So they take that a little bit more seriously now.
Well, of course, talking about that, we should talk about the FA bars a little very quickly as well, because, of course, that old toe rag who keeps retiring all the time, he's back again.
I tell you what, Dave, I can't get a job, right? and he retires. Every time he retires, he gets a job. So I might just stick on Twitter when my band comes up of it. And that's another story. I'm retiring. So and then someone might say, yeah, but no, being serious, I'm not looking at the moment because my leg, you know that. But listen, he's a great manager. He's friends with everyone at Chertsey. It's a perfect fit for them. It's a perfect fit for them. It's not, well, I'd say it's not local for him, but it's not too far, and he'll do well for them. And we were speaking last week about them, and you know, they've had an indifferent start, and then they're a big club. So I'm sure he'll last to the end of the year. I think he just likes gold watches. He must have, like, his arm must be full of them.
Chris, I mean, with Witham, though, I mean, you know, Witham is one of these clubs, isn't it? You know, and this is no disrespect to Witham at all. He's one of the ones that he was always sort of been on a bit of a struggle most of the time. And now all of a sudden, yourself has come in and you're absolutely flying.
Yeah. I think the last time we caught up on the show was last year, maybe late October or November, wasn't it? Look, and I was just an assistant manager / coach / player at that time. So, yeah, lots changed from when we last spoke. It's just, I know it's easy to say this, but it's just hard work. Hard work from the non-plan staff, the players, the committee, the groundsman, the chairman, the vice chairman. It's just been collectively hard work all round, and we're getting our rewards, really. A lot of self-reflection on what I could have done better last year, because obviously it's only my first season as a manager this season. So, yeah, there's a lot of self-reflection, moving players on, which is always hard if you've got a relationship with that player off the pitch, and bringing new faces in to freshen it up. And it's been so far so good. So I had Saturday, which we most probably had our worst 25 minutes against Lowestoft. Yeah, we forget about that.
We're talking of Lowestoft. Someone's just sent me a fact on Twitter, and I read this earlier in the week, and it's from a gentleman that was actually on the show this time last week, Greg Dickinson, Dixon, who was, of course, the secretary down there at Sholin, and he's just said me, he said, the highest ranked team still with 100% league record in the whole of England, Stockton Town 7 from 7, Lowestoft 6 from 6, and Sholin 7 from 7.
Listen, Dave, we spoke about Lowestoft before, and you know, that was when I was attending my first ever away fixture, and again, just going what Peter was saying, that was a midweek Tuesday night. And I think, like I said, we didn't get in until 3 or 4 in the morning. We got stuck on the motorway. Big club, really. I know they had money issues a couple of years ago because they mostly done what a lot did and sort of spent a lot of it to get promoted. And then they got put in, obviously, the wrong league by a geographical thing, and it cost them an absolute fortune as well. But yeah, they've done well, as Chris will tell you, but losing to them isn't no mean feat. And the job you're doing at the moment, Chris, is superb. I've got a bit of a soft spot for Witham. I've always liked the club. Going back, obviously, when we first met James, and I went up there and met the late chairman as well. He was a lovely fellow, and it's a family club. But, you know, apart from the hard work, has the club sort of changed its ethos? What was it looking to do? Or has it helped you out a little bit more financially? Or has anyone come in?
Yeah, so obviously they've supported quite a lot in regards to requests that I internally had when we met in the summer, which they've backed. And then on reflection of sort of that, it's just the players, really. We sat down straight away after the Saffron Waldron playoff game last year. and we reviewed, like the management staff reviewed where we went wrong in some of the games against the bigger clubs, where we weren't too far off. I think the one that sort of stuck out quite a bit was when we played Brentford and we was 2-0 up. We've ended up losing 3-2, but we was fine for 45 minutes. So it was just getting the right personnel in the right positions. And again, moving people on, it needed a freshen up. I think from Saturday, I think out of the 11, I think I had 5 new players that have come in the summer. So you can really see how much it's changed. And I think 8 out of the 16 or 15 as such was new players. So it has changed. It's just the mindset and mentality has changed. You know, I only demand things off of players that I've done myself or expected to do when I played. So, we try to push them as much as we can within reason. And likewise, obviously, when they're doing the work, we give them as much as we can as non-playing staff.
Yeah, we've always sort of said that the North's a tough league. I know it's got rejigged a little bit with some interesting names that obviously is not as popular, because the North was always sort of a given, sort of the area and the teams that was in there. It didn't really change it too much, but obviously this year it has. So is that with Witham, and again, they've always been sort of propping up the other end of the table, if I'm honest, and because financially they was always struggling to compete with some of the big guns, but some of the new sides in there, is that sort of refresh things for the club?
If I'm going to be totally honest, I suppose we haven't really focused on other clubs coming into the league. We've tried to focus and put all our energies into what we can do to impact what we do, not what other teams can potentially bring sort of to the table. So it's great when you go to different locations or different clubs that I haven't been. I think the last time I went to Lowestoft, I think Gary Hart was playing centre midfield for him, the old Scottish international, when they won our league. So it'd be good to go down there. And some of the boys might have not experienced playing in front of sort of 500 people, which they tend to be able to get. So it's good on that aspect of things. But I think, yeah, for us, it's been mainly concentrating on where we want to get to and just trying to beat teams in front of us, really.
I was just looking at your fixtures as you go into the new year, and you've got that. So you've got 3 lovely trips coming up quite quickly, haven't you? You go to Wroxham on the 7th of January. Then, you get a home tie against Sudbury. Then you go back to Norfolk again to play Galston. Of course, then they play at Lowestoft. And then you've got Lowestoft away as well on the 25th of February. So you've got the 3 big journeys to come later on in the year.
Yeah. It's just part and parcel of it. I was touching on it again, what Peter said. Sometimes the coach journeys or the longer journeys, if you don't take coaching, your car sharing, if you cut with players, you actually win the game, I think, on the journey, because the players sort of get together and all of a sudden you get to the game. It's like the mindset changes a little bit. No one, you know, wants to drive 2.5, 3 hours, 4 hours and lose a game of football. So sometimes it can work for you the longer journey, especially if you've got a few car sharing or you've got a coach put on. All of a sudden it's like the atmosphere turns up a little bit on the way down, and if you get a win, the atmosphere really turns up on the way back. So yeah, we're just prepared right for it and try to do our best when then games are finished.
Is it those games though, guys, that when you get, and it's a question for probably all three of you, if you've got the games, you know, the Lowestoft games, the Wroxham games, you know, the Truro, the Plymouth games, etc. Do you actually look for those when the fixtures first come out? And what I mean by that is that you look at them and hope that they might be September time, August, September time, or maybe in the April time, rather than being in sort of like December, January, where there's a chance that if it's on a Saturday, you could get called off and then you're going to have to travel all the way down there on a Tuesday night.
We look at that, particularly with Truro, again, the 14th of January, and on that Plymouth Parkway pitch, that has got a very good chance of being called off even now. And you're thinking, oh God, here we go. We looked at that straight away. But then in the month of August, we got put down into the south of the country twice. And you're thinking, why on earth, when we're going with all the holiday traffic, why didn't someone regionalise it for the first 6 weeks? And then, you know, 1st of October, let's start travelling down into the West Country and everything like that. But the other fixtures you look at, your fixtures, say, oh, when we play in Truro or Plymouth Parkway, first game of the season, you're thinking, great, all through the M4, M5 traffic, which was carnage. And everything that goes with it. So fortunately, we sent them all down by train, but I'm not lumping a kit bag on a train and all the other stuff that goes with it. So I drove down there. God, that was a horrendous journey. But, yeah, you do look at them. I don't know about you, Chris, but that's what we do look at the fixture and go, oh, great.
Yeah. I think for myself, it's, yeah, I think it's just planning it, isn't it? That's the most probably the hardest thing, I think, because our success in the FA Cup and the trophy, we've got Stowe Market on a Tuesday coming up. So, like, I've had a discussion with the boys last week about pre-planning, because people have jobs. Sometimes they can't get out. They have commitments. And the worst thing you want to do is go with a team that potentially you don't know who's going to be there. So we try to just get it pre-planned, let the boys know as soon as possible. But yeah, I suppose you can't help games getting called off or needing to go down on a Tuesday. And it will potentially work the other way around at times as well, where they may have to come down on a Tuesday.
Yeah, I think you always look at your midweek games, Dave, straight away, the long ones, see if you can get people off work, etc. And the big ones, and you know, and as Chris said, see when teams have got to travel to you as well. I think, you know, that's quite important, because, you know, you want to go to some of these big games or the long journeys with your best players. The worst thing is when you have to get there and on a midweek game, like in the winter, and you've got a load of youngsters sitting with you. That's tough. That is tough.
So what has been, you know, for you though, Chris, I mean, what's been where's the magic come from? You know, what have you done differently that, you know, other managers have not done to get Witten where they are?
I don't know if I've done things differently. I've most probably been a little bit more organised. Most probably versus other managers in the league. Again, me, Scott and Wally, Keith obviously knows Wally from his days at Wolverhampton Forest, and Rob Lewis, goalkeeping coach, has come in. We've just sat down and analysed, obviously, what we can impact. We most probably went back a little bit earlier than a lot of clubs pre-season. And a lot of players have bought into what we wanted to do that remained with us. It's just, yeah, I'll just say it's just hard work, mindset, mentality. And yeah, I think this application and attitude to certain things, like I said, I have standards that I will set for myself. So I don't expect players not to have maybe the same standards as me. So I think, yeah, mindset and standards. And obviously, like I said, the recruitment was quite key. And there's certain players that I wanted in certain areas, which we've been fortunate enough to get. And some, obviously, we couldn't get. But I'm happy with the squad at the moment. Like I said, if anything comes up that's better, that can improve us and strengthen us, then it's definitely something to do. But I'd just say, yeah, the commitment pre-season, a few of the more experienced players that stuck with me as well, they've come back in great shape. And they've worked hard, really hard.
Mm. I was going to say that because I've just looked at your squad and you have got a little bit of experience in there, haven't you? Which is maybe something that Witten struggled with over the years, because obviously with Manny, etc., they've all used to have a few youngsters, and I think the turnaround of players you used to have as well before, obviously well before your time was huge. You know, you used to look at the Witten side and it was very, very rare, the same 11, you know, consistently, and they used to struggle a little bit with that.
Yeah, I think obviously a few of the more experienced players that have come in, like Lewis Payne and Gazzes as well. So then you've got a mix of some of the younger lads that maybe, you know, yourself, Keith, that need to be guided or coached through certain situations within 90 minutes, which we can only influence from prior to the game and during the game. But some of the players on there can really have a big impact, and it has helped in certain areas, definitely.
Also, it's a club sort of, you know, off the pitch of, well, I'd say you could say off it or on it, have they improved the facilities there with the playing surface for you?
Yeah, so the pitch is in great condition at the moment. A lot of hard work has gone on the pitch during the close season. So every time sort of we trained in the facility not far from the club, the pitch was, yeah, it had the TLC on it every time it was there. So the pitch is in great condition, which is most probably helped us really in the way that we've been playing and stuff. The pitch being in such good condition, it's encouraged us to play a certain way, and it's less games on it this year. So yeah, that's definitely improved, which was one of the things that that we spoke about pre-season, and it's worked out for us really so far.
It's funny you say that, because a lot of clubs, you know, when they need revenue with the amount of games that go on the pitch, and sometimes, you know, they look at it, but it's sometimes a little bit short-sighted where they forget about the playing surface for the actual team, their main side. And they go, well, we need this, we need that. But, you know, it is a big thing as a manager, I think, that you've got a decent playing surface. Because, you know, I know as a club, that in the South East, and I'm not going to mention it, everyone I know, but their pitch is horrendous. And the manager that used to be there used to go, we can't play any other way. The fans are moaning because we can't play football. We said, we've got to shell it. We can't play football on this pitch. It's not what we want to do. It's not the players we want. Mm-hmm. So it is a big thing if you know, you've got a decent pitch and the way that you want to actually set your side up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think almost, Cliff, you need to have two different sides, don't you? Mm. In a way. The pitch ain't great at home, or if you're going to pitches away that you know that ain't great, you kind of will most probably select certain players for certain games. But if you've got sort of a good pitch at home and the pitches that you're going to are fairly decent in our league away, it doesn't really mean that you change too much, maybe besides the personnel and maybe the shape against a few teams. But yeah, that's the luxury of having a good pitch at home, and obviously a good pitch away from home.
Well, it's been there's been some big breaking news happened in the last sort of 10 minutes. I don't know if you've just picked it up on your phone, Keith, but Herne Bay have confirmed that Zach Ansah has departed the club this evening. 100 appearances, 57 goals and one promotion.
I bet, and I can bet where he's going. I won't say on air. Zach didn't play at the weekend. I don't know, but they brought some players in. You know, they've had an indifferent start to the season, to be fair to them. I see that some of their fans are restless, which, listen, down that neck of the woods, a lot of the fans are. But they've gone into a massive, massive league. And I know they've got good support. And they lost at the weekend after being 2-0 up to Endon as well. Which sort of would disappoint them. But look, he's a great player, Dave. He's, you know, but he travels, he lives local to me, to be fair, and he travels all the way to Herne Bay, and, you know, it's a lot for him. But there'd be loads of clubs out of him, as Peter and Chris both know. Yeah. To find a quality centre forward at any level is difficult. And if one comes up now, I wouldn't be surprised if a club's announcing his arrival within the next hour or so, and I've got a great idea where he's going anyway. So
that's right. They lost Hassan Jalou, didn't they? He went back to Hayes.
Ben's a decent manager. I'm sure he'll pick one up. But the one thing I found out when I was at Whitstable as well, when you're down, and you get it all round most probably, but there's so many clubs in Kent. But when you're down on the coast, it's difficult to get players to travel down there. Yeah. Because there's so many other clubs local to them. And a lot of the players do come from South East London. But I'm sure, you know, with what resources that Ben's got, that they will respond. But I think he might end up very, very close to where I might have been at the weekend.
Oh, but well, there's a test. So anybody that saw him...
Well, as we didn't know where you were at the weekend...
Well, it won't be where I am this weekend unless he's gone abroad, because I'm off again. So... this non-management thing is quite good for my suntan.
So what you're trying to say is he's not going to turn up against Chesham at the weekend.
I don't think he'll be playing against Chesham for Enfield at the weekend, no.
Hey, Enfield have got a very good squad and good attacking.
They have. The thing about Zach, again, I don't know if the lads know too much about him, obviously his history with when he was at Arsenal, etc., is that he could easily play that level and above. But, he scores a lot of goals in step four. And I think he likes playing with his mates. Obviously, everyone knows he plays for SC Dons, which is one of the biggest Sunday sides in the country as well. Which is, you know, and they all normally play together on a Saturday. So I would be shocked if he's not there.
Well, as you can't say it, can someone enlighten me where there is?
I don't know. I have no idea. But all I should say is I'm going to text Ali right now.
he won't be there.
Well, he's not at Chesham. I know that for a fact. So.
No, he definitely won't be with Ali, I don't think. I think if anywhere, if he goes back into the South East Division, he might, like I said, I might get surprised. He might sort something. But, you know, Zach's a good lad. He's a really nice fellow as well. And he gets a little bit of stick from what people say. Oh, he's there for money, etc. He's not. He's a top, top lad. And so if the clubs have got the money, I'm pretty sure he might be. And when it's announced, Dave, you'll go, oh, that's obvious.
And so when it's announced later on when we get off air that Whittam have signed him, we've
got to say, well, I'll pass Chrissy's number if he wants him. But looking at the weekend, Chris, you were on the bench, so that might be your playing budget gone.
That's why I said from the 15, not the 16 Saturday.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you've got some, just, you know, finishing up with Whitton. I mean, you've got some big games coming up. You've got, as you say, Dunstable and a trophy at the weekend at home. Then you've got Coggeshall at home. And then you've got your derby against, of course, Heybridge Swifts as well, at home as well.
Yeah, it's a massive October for us. Massive October. And to be honest, to put it quite bluntly, we need to show people that the first six games haven't been a fluke, the performances, as simple as that. Because it's easy for people to say.
That Heybridge game's a weird one, isn't it? Midweek, when you've got the bank holidays and Christmas, etc. I know you've got Maldon and so on there, but...
It got rearranged because of their replay against Braintree. So we has been rearranged again, like the Stone Market game where we've got them on.
Okay, apologies to Kelly if she thinks I'm going to go at her.
Can I just ask, in your league though, I mean, the one team I think that everybody must be a little bit surprised that being in the position that they are and managerless as well at the minute, is more than the Tiptree. I mean, are you surprised at where they are at the moment?
Yeah, by all means, you know. I think when we spoke last year on the show, I said that they was not struggling, but they was shocked. I think they was mid-table, and I think we had a discussion, Keith, saying that if they get in the playoffs, it's a good season for them. Most probably expected them to start quite strong this season. You know, you look at their players, and they've not got a bad team at all on paper. No. They've got some really experienced players that have been with Morgan. And gained their experience with their cup runs, and they've also gained their experience higher. So, yeah, you'd expect them to do better. But like I said, you don't win the league after six or seven games, and you don't get relegated after six or seven games. So you've got to be quite mindful of that as well.
I'm surprised they haven't recruited the manager yet, Dave, if I'm honest with you. I thought they normally do that really quickly. They normally have someone in line and et cetera. So, you know, that's not easy, but they've got a couple of Mike's players, like with Kojo Watnick is coming back from a long-term injury from last year. Decent player, you know, and I'm sure they'd be okay. But they've got the connections with Colchester, haven't they? But obviously they're struggling a little bit themselves, so.
Yeah, you don't know if that's a knock-on effect to why they haven't put someone in place yet as well.
Coming off sort of players, I mean, I don't know if anybody saw... And the guys are going to be coming on the show in 2 weeks tonight from the referees forum. They're going to come and join us in a couple of weeks' time. And I saw something on there, I think it was yesterday, and absolutely shocking. I don't know if anybody saw it. Referee David Bradley was attacked during the game today and has reportedly had his collarbone broken during the said attack as it becomes available. You know, as you can imagine, the stream is quite long on that tweet, but it's just shocking, isn't it, that sort of thing still goes on.
Yeah,
I see that, David. I don't understand. For me, Keith, I don't know if you're the same with this. You set up your team, and your team wins or loses the game. It's fair enough, a ref will make a decision you might not agree with, but ultimately, if you've done your own work and done your prep, you can't really blame the ref for making decisions. And yeah, I think it's a joke, really. It is a joke.
Yeah, listen, the violence is outrageous, Dave. You know, I've had a go of many a referee, as you well know. I will just up to Chris's point. No, a referee did cost me 3 points at Corinthian last year, and I proved that on Twitter with the video when we would have been 3-1 up and we'd have won the game, and I wouldn't have got the sack. So, yeah, no, I'm not really. They didn't really get me. So, I think Dave knew that was coming. And it was the same ref. Aaron, that I even mentioned that gave a penalty against us against Hastings 2 weeks before as well. But there we go. Another frustration of a referee, mostly is, you know, I've tried to help him, Dave, and I will say a referee come up to me on Saturday in the bar where I was and went, Keith, I just want to thank you. And I was like, oh my God. I was thinking, is he being sarcastic that he's thanking me that I'm not in management? And he went, I just want to thank you for the shows, Dave, that we've done through lockdown. He went, it kept him really entertained. And I was like, whoa, no referee's ever thanked me before. So you've got to take a big plus of that. But yeah, again, when you see some of this, you know, having a moan at a ref is very similar, Chris, is when you have a moan at your own players. And I think some referees forget about that as well. They think you just moan at them, but you do moan at your own players when they make a mistake. As a manager, you've got that in you. It's the passion side. So it's just, you know, the referee could have maybe kicked the ball instead of blowing up the whistle. It's the same thing. But I think it's the same. If anyone, you know, violent a ref, I think there was one. I heard saying that I think it was over in the league below, that they had to escort the referee out in this year as well, Dave. Some marshals out of someone's car park, and I'm not going to name the club, but obviously again it's local to me. And I'm like, really? Because the other team wanted, and you can't be doing things like that. No. You know, surely we've gone beyond that stage now in football, in society, where, you know, you have to do that, and it's the reason why you're losing referees.
Without a doubt, we had a great referee on Saturday. One mistake in the first minute, we all went, oh my God. After that, superb. The players came off in the jet and afterwards and said to the referee, they said, great game. Really pleased to see you come back again. When we played Hayes and lost 2-0 last year, went to the referee afterwards, we gave him 100. We just said to him, yeah, you were superb. And what is your ambition? I'm going to go for the Football League line. And we said, no, you can't do that. You've got to go for a centre. You're good enough for it. You've got everything in your favour, and you've got the big thing in your favour of your colour. And he took it on board, and he's now in the National Conference Centre. Brilliant. Pleased as punch for him, because he was that good a referee. Now, when you get a good one, it makes you appreciate what you got. And just appreciate that they've turned up on a Saturday so that you can play.
Yeah, I've seen some decent refs. That's the one at the weekend I went and watched. He gave a bit of a controversial penalty that, me personally, I didn't think it was a pen. And when he spoke to me, I asked him about it. But he'd done it so quick, he was adamant. With that, you go, okay, fine. But I thought he was really consistent the way he refed it for both sides. And that's what you need. You know, unfortunately, referees will make mistakes because they can't get everything right. But I thought they refed it quite well and quite consistently. So, yeah, no problem with them at the moment. I don't know if you've had any issues, Chris.
No, I think the consistency in the refs has been quite good. I think I spoke to one after the FA Cup game when we lost 2-1 when he gave the pen away and sent off Gaz. But listen, we're all human. We're going to make mistakes as managers. Our players are going to make mistakes. They're going to make mistakes. But it's just, I suppose, just emotionally, sometimes our managers, how we can deal with it, really. But yeah, they've all, the ones this season, have been all good. Like I said, the one I went in and spoke to, perfect. You know, he explained why he made the decision. No problem. I think it's when they explain something different to what they give. That's where I think the uncertainty comes from our side. But yeah, they've been quite consistent.
And it was the best refereeing performance of the season that had to be at the Emirates at the weekend. But anyway, we'll go over that one, won't we?
All right, it's time to wind the show up.
as we normally do now, we have a quick finish before we finish tonight. So we'll just have a go through some of these FA Cup games from the weekend and guess the attendance. And we'll start off with Dulwich Hamlet against Folkestone and Victor. It was a 1-0 win for Folkestone and Victor. So then, Chris, how many was at Dulwich versus Folkestone and Victor at the weekend?
I'm going to go about 890.
Pete?
1275.
So what was that, Sam?
1200.
1200?
2400.
1863. That game. What about Gloucester City versus Merthyr Tydfil? Keith?
Well, because he's your mate, Merthyr ain't got that many fans. They're all out there. It's the rugby started. That's the way I like down there. I'm going...
It was at Gloucester, though. So.
Yeah, I'm going 289.
Oh, I'm going 850. I know
Merthyr
took 3 coach loads with them.
Chris?
I'll go 1,000.
Listen, it don't mean them coaches were full.
They go anywhere for a day trip.
that was just with Anthony's booze in it. 937 was there. What about our old mates down at Romford? Romford against Chelmsford City, 5-0 to Chelmsford City. How many do we reckon go down there?
Oh, it's close to another, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll go 690.
I was going to say 780.
450.
I'll tell you what, the chairman down there would have been well happy with your two guesses, guys. I'll tell you. 336.
Really? There's a local derby as well.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Chelmsford. Yeah.
What about Worthing versus Eastbourne Borough? Worthing 1, Eastbourne Borough 2.
Local derby. Both teams doing really well. Ooh, 1,400.
I'll go 1,200.
I'm going 2-2.
Pete, I tell you, mate, if you'd have just gone on a little bit more, 1,426.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the Worthing players was so good, they named him twice, Adam.
the geese are doing it, typing it, had a stutter.
And last one, because I just love the name. I think it's one of the best names in non-league football. Swindon Supermarine 1, Farnborough 5. At Farnborough, we're down to 10 men as well. What do we reckon?
337.
I got
450.
280. Not a bad guess. 282. Out of Brendan Supermarine at the weekend. I mean, there were some great, there were some really good crowds. I mean, Duff Shields, 1,218.
Well, you've got nothing to do up there, have they? Up north, just to watch football, have they?
But I mean, it's great things. I mean, Oxford City against Plymouth Parkway 276. Well, I think it was the journey that probably killed that, gate, wasn't it? But some great ones, and hopefully, we'll get some big crowds. What do we reckon for Cheshire? How many are they be taking down to Enfield on Saturday, Pete?
Oh, I think there'll be 50 or 60 going from Cheshire. But the usual Muttley crew will be there. Yes. It'd be a good crowd, good gate, and good atmosphere. There's always a good atmosphere down at Enfield. It's a friendly atmosphere. It's a friendly club. Yeah. And that's what it's all about. Football is a game on the pitch and it's friends off it. And that's the way it should be.
I mean, next week, joining us, me and Keith next week, he's a gentleman that I've spoken to a few times through Twitter and text message and phone calls. And I met him for the first time at the Southern League Awards last year. And of course, that's the chairman of Redditch, Mr. David Faulkner. He's going to come and join us next week. Been trying to get him on the show for some time, and he's going to come and join us next week. And I said the following week, we're going to get the guys from the Referees Forum that are going to be on the show to come and have a chat with us as well. But a massive thank you tonight for to the Witham Town manager up on the top there, of course, Chris, and of course, the chairman of Chesham.
Just one little plug, can I make?
Yeah, go ahead.
Welcome to Alex Horn onto our board. Brilliant.
And that's Alex. I saw that the other day, actually. Yeah. Brilliant.
He's brilliant. I asked him after a Taskmaster event at the club, would you like to come on our board? And he went, yeah, love to. Brilliant.
Fantastic. Nice.
Can't be beaten.
That'll be an interesting chat and all the rest of it. Perhaps I might be knocking you up to get him on My Life in Football, I think. But we should certainly be having a go at that one. But
he's a Liverpool supporter at heart, I think. But he's mad about Chesham.
But Keith, a massive thank you, of course, to yourself as well.
Sunday.
And hopefully that league's not causing you too much grief. But
it is, Dave, at the moment, unfortunately. So... Someone from the hospital needs to ring me pretty damn quick.
Good luck with it.
Cheers, thanks.
Also, as well, we must say a big congratulations, of course, to Terry Spillane and that they've managed to get in down at FC Romania, and since we're local side to us, and of course Nick Ironton as well has gone in and replaced Terry at Walthamstow as well. So some managerial changes around. Close to me as well. So congratulations to those guys. But me and Keith will be back next week. Hopefully you've enjoyed the show. Let everybody know we're here. And hopefully, we will be back next week. But of course, also starting this week as well, This week, hopefully on Friday, you'll get to see the show. Will be the Southern League preview show that will be back on this Friday with somebody that's going to come and join me, which I was quite surprised at when I got the phone call to say that he was going to be replacing Steve for the time being while Steve's getting himself well, and the chairman himself will be on the show with me at the weekend. So that'll be an interesting chat at the weekend. But for me and Keith, until next week, thanks for watching, and we'll see you again then. Good night.
Good night.
Good evening.